Chapter 38. Back in Boston. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. Isaiah 18:82. Back in Boston, Mrs. Eddy was quick to implement the words she had written to Clara Choate. Both Choates, Clara and George, together with Alice Sibley, Mrs. Sarah H. Cross, and Reverend Charles Barber, were in a class that began on the 16th of August. From the moment of Mrs. Eddy's return, the college became a beehive of activity. There were soon Sunday services and weekday parlor talks open to the public, plus meetings for the students. In addition to the leaders' unceasing activities, which included another class in October, the several students who resided at the college were also practicing and receiving patients there. Mrs. Eddy's offensive approach to the malicious mesmerism that had hounded her every footstep since 1871 is evident in the minutes of a meeting of the Christian Scientist Association on the 11th of October. The subject of nothingness, commonly called mesmerism, was approached but was thought to be unworthy of consideration. The president, Mrs. Eddy, thought there was a great excess of talk about the error. She said, quote, "All there is to mesmerism is what we make of it," end quote. As her good work increased and spread, the attacks from malicious minds increased and were devastating. But the reducing of malicious animal magnetism to its native nothingness continued and increased with each new onslaught. Mrs. Eddy made herself readily available to students and newcomers alike. One of the newcomers was Janet Coleman, who was a member of the class of 14 that Mrs. Eddy held in January of 1883. Mrs. Coleman's recollections of the leader at that time state, "I never shall forget my first experience when my mother and myself called upon her. After talking with her for a while, I said I would like to study with you, and then the wondrous purity of the one before me came to my thought. And I added, if I am good enough." Such a look as came into her face, and she answered that for my answer, she would teach me. I never had been in such an atmosphere of thought in my life before. I felt my own shortcomings. It was unfolded to me a glimmer of the divine inspiration which encircled her, and this is what gave me the blessed privilege of becoming her student, which I never have regretted. I can truthfully say that the light that shone into my thought has never left me, and I never doubted our leader's inspiration or her wisdom in guiding our cause. Such wisdom is not of this world. The purity which Janet Coleman felt in Mrs. Eddy's presence was the most essential quality for successful healing and the most difficult for students to attain. And why? Because it required watching every single thought and rejecting from consciousness every suggestion that was less than perfection. To this end of watching, the three students at the college who were accomplishing most for the movement, Julia Bartlett, Arthur Buswell, and Calvin Fry, signed their names on the 23rd of January to the following statement. We, the undersigned, hereby promise to keep a close guard on our thought and action, and never by word or deed knowingly influence a resident of this college or anyone to a wrong result. In 1883, Mrs. Eddy was in her 62nd year, which was considered elderly in the 19th century. But those who knew her then said she had the youthful appearance of a woman in her 30s or early 40s. Julia Bartlett wrote, "I can see her now as she looked at this time, her face radiant with that spiritual beauty that never could be put on canvas, her light brown hair, which was naturally curly, was arranged becomingly. Her eyes had a wonderful spiritual expression, and she had the fair, delicate complexion of youth, with often a pink color in her cheeks." Mrs. Eddy had been consciously and scientifically purifying her consciousness for nearly 20 years. The pure in heart shall see God. And every day she was seeing more and more of the light of reality, of scientific being. She also was endeavoring to impart this light to her students, as Miss Bartlett recorded. Sometimes she would show us how it would be with us and others when farther advanced in our understanding of truth. One time, when two or three of us were with her, she began to talk to us in an unusual way, and I listened to her every word, lest I should lose any. It was a wonderful, beautiful glimpse of the real that she was unfolding to us, until one of the students present questioned her. Then she stopped and said, "Oh, you can't understand me." I said, "Do please go on, we will try." She replied, "But you can't." Quote, "If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" End quote. Jesus' words were equally applicable to Mrs. Eddy's experience. For years, she had been proving by demonstration that mind alone affects the body, but students could not let go of general belief sufficiently to see that this was true in every aspect of experience, nor could they believe when she would tell them of earthly things to prove her point. This is illustrated by one of Mrs. Eddy's earlier experiments. Cleanliness had always been of utmost importance to Mrs. Eddy. In an era when all clean people bathed regularly once a week, she had bathed daily. After discovering science and learning that cleanliness was mental, not physical, she used this as one area of experimentation to prove the truth of her discovery. In later years, she told the following to Calvin Fry, who recorded it January 25, 1890. From daily baths, she entirely stopped bathing and never bathed for 7 years. One of her students, who roomed with her one night, said upon retiring, "Oh, Mrs. Glover, how sweet you smell." To which she replied, "Why, I use no cologne." "No, I don't mean that," was the reply. "But how sweet and clean your person is." Mrs. Glover said, "Well, now I will tell you. I have not bathed for 7 years." "Oh, don't tell anyone that," was the reply. "For if you do, People will think you the dirtiest person that ever lived. Her own students could not apply the science they were studying. So she left the paragraph in Science and Health regarding, quote, the daily ablutions of an infant, end quote, almost unchanged from the first edition to the last. In 1883, she wrote in a sermon, quote, the cool bath may refresh the body and so satisfy man's belief, but it cannot purify his mind or meet the demands of love. It is the baptismal of spirit that washes our robes and makes them white in the blood of the Lamb, that bathes us in the life of truth and the truth of life. End quote. If they could not comprehend the earthly things, how could they understand the heavenly? Julia Bartlett's record is not surprising. In later years, when I talked with Mrs. Eddy, she said no one knew how much was revealed to her every day, but there was no one to whom she could talk it. They could not understand, not even her most advanced students. She was so far above the world, she was utterly alone in it, and sometimes felt that loneliness, and would express the desire for the time to come when she could voice the truth she saw. She gave the students just as much as they could take, but she knew that it would be future generations that would comprehend her teachings and her life. She must now so educate her students spiritually that they were able to preserve and pass on to future generations that which they themselves did not understand, as well as to practice and perpetuate that which they did. The growth from their own practice would increase their understanding more than aught else could. The task of educating mortal mind, which is unconscious of itself, out of itself, is full of perils. Did her vision of January 1883 depict the task before her? Vision of January 1883. A bridge over unconscious mind, with weak rail, which protected from running off the bridge. Fear of it. Steeds were unmanageable. Teams struck against the rail. It bent, and she leaped out of the team, and the others followed and got on the bridge. Next saw a poor bridge, full of holes, which she avoids in passing over, and showed them how to pass over safely. Afterward was out in the stream of mortal mind alone, and went to the very verge of a cataract, and was going over, but climbed up again safely by catching hold of the water. Mrs. Eddy could avoid the holes in the bridge over unconscious mind, and show her students how to pass over safely. But few followed her example and instructions. When there was greatest danger, she alone was resisting the current of mortal mind. Alone, but not alone. For God was ever with her, guiding her footsteps, even to catching hold of the very water, mental activity, that was endeavoring to destroy her, thus enabling her to climb up safely. The serpent becomes a staff when it is handled